Busy guy on with us today, Doug Somke, president of the South Dakota Farmers Union. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, guys. Boy, it's a beautiful day today, isn't it? Sunshine and a little bit of a breeze.
Yeah, but don't think it was much over a couple of weeks ago. We had a whole bunch of snow and cold weather, so it's difference.
Well, and it depends upon who you talk to. I talked to some cattle guys yesterday, and they were telling me it was the toughest calving season they've ever had, and dealing with the mud and the slop, and they're even having trouble in some areas, still trying to get in the field. This ground's pretty wet and cold yet.
Well, yeah, this had to be the miserable calving season, and I know some of them aren't even done with it yet because they still got to treat some of these calves. You see sickness a couple weeks usually after these storms like we had, and a late storm like this, it was as wet as it was and the wind blowing. That's really tough on those animals.
Yeah, it really was, but then again, like I said, you talk to some guys. I talked to the Feichert family last week, and they're so cotton picking dry, and their calving season went pretty good. So it's all in where you're at, and you don't have to go very many miles to find it different.
Yeah, I know. I guess if you get the moisture, sometimes you can look back and say, well, maybe it wasn't as bad as we thought, even though at the time it probably was. But moisture is always good to start out with in the spring.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of difference than last year. Last spring it was quite drier, and of course we had a lot of field work already in by now, but we were really hoping for and praying for rain. Where right now you're right, the soil is looking good right now.
Are you farming over there yet, Doug?
Yeah, the guys have done some pre-plant work, planting wheat today, getting ready to plant corn. I think the corn planter will probably go out later today. So yeah, we're going. We got some guys that farm a lot of acres up in our neck of the woods that have quite a bit in already, both wheat and corn. I think by next week you're going to see a whole bunch of activity and late night lights going.
I think you're right, and that's where you got to be careful on these roads, watching, and a lot of machinery are going to be on the roads going back and forth. So we got to make sure that we are patient. They're not going very far. There'll be time to pass them, but it's kind of tough.
Huh? Yeah, and with that, remember, with the guys getting out in the fields, the wildlife are going to be moving around quite a bit more. You're going to start seeing a lot more deer up in the highways, and as the pheasants and stuff are pairing up, they're going to be up on the roads as well. So just got to be just aware that the environment is pretty alive right now.
Well, Doug, I know coming up next week, next Wednesday, your golf tournament that you guys raise funds.
Yeah, well, you guys will be over. We'll have a bunch of other sponsors and participants in our organization over at the event in Huron at the golf course. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing you guys and having some laughs and having some fun for a good cause of raising some money for the foundation for the education and youth programs.
Well, it always is a fun time, Doug, and you guys put together a very good tournament. The money what do you use the money for? It goes to a good cause, doesn't it?
Yeah, it goes to our camping program and also our young producer education programs, teaching people how to be better leaders and be more involved in their communities. It's something that we got to constantly be working at. It's surprising, a lot of us take it for granted that we all go through 4-H and FFA, but that's not necessarily the case. Some people aren't exposed to that kind of thing till later in life. And so that's the reason we offer these programs. And you can definitely see the difference in people after they've been through the programs. They want to help, they want to get involved, they realize what it means to be a strong member of their community, maybe not necessarily always leading in the community, but at least being a part of it and helping out where the cause is needed. With these tough times in agriculture, it seems like it brings out those type of people more and more. And just giving them some ability, some tools to learn and use as they go about being stronger members of their community.
Well, I know we'll talk more about that, too, because we want to talk to some people down there at the golf tournament. We're going to be down there doing Ag Hour Live from down there that day. But Senator John Thune is in a hearing today, huh?
Yeah, Senator Thune's in here on doing a question and answer meeting with different people, of course, individuals and organizations as well. And we're going to visit with him about, you know, his concerns of the farm bill, of course, is one of our top priorities. And I really appreciate the fact that him and Senator Brown are getting together from Ohio to sponsor a change in the ARC program. I think at least it's something different. It's addressing some of the issues that we have. But I also emphasize to him that we got to look at how we can change this thing in the long term, because we're talking about right now a long-term problem, which always reoccurs with us, is overproduction and underprice, and then of course the input costs always being higher but never going down, and that's a issue that we have to constantly be aware of, and how can we address that as well as we go forward. But one of the biggest things I'm worried about with the ARC program and the proposals that he's offering to change is where the money's going to come from for that increase of coverage. We're looking at moving from a 14% cost of your revenue loss to down to a 10%, which means that you're going to get 4% more covered sooner. And that's a good thing when you're having problems, but how do we pay for it as a country? And I guess that's the issue that I wanted to propose to him, to see what we can do in that order.
Well, they always seem to find something if they need to in Washington, don't they?
You know, it's amazing to me how we always talk about, the deficit and being more conservative, but yet we don't ever really come up with that many good tools to help people do that. And I think that's really the issue. I don't think anybody likes having a handout. I don't think even people that are in need of food stamps or anything like that really care for that. It's just a situation to get put into. But we should offer them opportunities and tools as a government to help them get through those feel like they're really worthy of the help and how they can be a better, stronger member of their community.
Do you think that maybe he's part of the actual farm bill? It's kind of getting on the backside because of the SNAP discussions?
Well, I think there's a little bit of that, but I'll be honest with you, the producers that I talk to, I hear more, they don't want to lose anything. They're kind of comfortable with the way it is now, but they're just really not happy with these low commodity prices. And so, you know, people just want to find a way that they can get their money from the market and save on the marketplace a little more, or at least feel like they're not overpaying. And I think that's the biggest reason that you don't hear a lot. I know Colin Peterson mentioned that the other day, that he's hearing around Minnesota his producers feel the same way, that they're just not that concerned about the farm bill, other than, you know, the milk program isn't working that well, and they've got some plans to address that. But I think most people are more worried about what they're going to lose from the farm bill than what they could possibly put in it or change.
You know, and I guess when you're talking commodity prices, of course, a big meeting today between the U.S. and China about the tariffs. I know we've seen what it's done, and, you know, it's really affecting the soybean. Corn, it isn't going to do much, because China don't really do much with the corn anyway. But as far as the beans, boy, Brazil's making a heyday off of this thing.
Yeah, they really are. I read an article this morning in the Wall Street Journal talking about that, and that we are absolutely not selling a single bean to China right now, and they're getting everything from Brazil, and that is disturbing. We do have to get back into that circle of trust and get them to understand that we do need each other. They need us as much as we need them. I think that's going to be the challenge, and that's what our trade negotiators have to be they don't only have to be negotiators, but they got to be diplomats as well, right?
I think so.
And I think to show that this could be pretty devastating to our ag economy is probably an understatement, but trade is a big deal, but it's not the only deal either, and we got to find ways to make sure that we emphasize to our trade negotiators that don't give away the farm, which is kind of what's happened in the past. But remember that the farm is important.
Well, and hopefully sounds like they're coming, NAFTA's getting closer too. So maybe we'll get some of this trade stuff worked out, Doug.
Oh, you know how it goes. We always seem to get through it. It's just how many people do we beat up on before we get there, right?
That's right.
It's unfortunate because we shouldn't have to do that. We should be able to work through things and get to the point that everybody wins.
Well, we hope we'll be watching this, and hopefully something comes good out today for the commodities anyway. Doug, thank you very much. We'll see you next Wednesday. Thanks for joining us today, and good luck getting some of that crop in, and keep us in touch with that farm bill.
You bet. You guys make sure you bring plenty of golf balls in your checkbook, okay?
Well, I suppose we got to do that, yeah. All right, Doug.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Look forward to seeing you next week.
All right. Thanks, Doug.